Glory to God. Luke 12:32, are you there? Praise God. Hallelujah. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And we see this in Luke 12. We also see this over in Matthew 6. Chapter 6:33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And he's telling you, don't worry about your life, but if you'll seek me, if you'll seek God, if you seek God, if you seek the kingdom, that he's going to add to you everything you need and everything that you want. But I want you to notice something interesting. It says, seek the kingdom would be added to you. Not just stuff, the kingdom would be added to you. Now, so what we understand from Matthew 6, and I know most of you know it well. If you don't, go back and read it. But there's a scripture that says you can't serve God and mammon. Mammon means the world system wealth or a personal wealth. In other words, you serve God, you get your finances and the rest of your life, your daily life, involved with God. It's not just you over here having your personal life. You're involved with God. So when you do that, you are involved in the kingdom. And you can't serve both because you're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. It's not going to weigh out. You can't have one leg over here and one leg over here. You can't do it according to Jesus. And I think he knows what he's talking about. But if he told you that, then obviously you have the ability to choose the right one.
True.
Right? I mean, he wouldn't have said it if you couldn't do it. So you can choose the kingdom. Now, today we see the kingdom of God, we also see what we call, if you've read a lot of scripture, you would call the world system the Babylonian system. Okay? It's called the Babylonian system. Now, and you can do some studying on that if you need help, but it's the world system. America was founded on the kingdom of God. Our forefathers decided to go with Bible, okay? And so America was founded on the kingdom. It doesn't look much like that right now, except among Christian communities. And, you know, there's patriots who carry some good things. But as we know, they're also... Many Christians live just in the world system. They haven't learned the difference. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about that you just don't do anything that goes on in the world. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about following a system. I'm talking about you're either going to be hooked up with God or you're going to be hooked up with a system, and you're going to work that thing. Jesus, the person, will bring you peace, but Jesus's principles will bring you purpose, will bring you prosperity, will bless your life. And with the world, you know, what do they say nowadays? The universe will look down on you. Well, guess what? There's a God that created that universe. So anyway, with the world system, things are different. The world system involves fear. I guess you've noticed that lately. The world system involves greed. The world system involves different things than the kingdom of God does. Church, fear is always the source of greed. It's always the source of greed. If you find someone and they just can't stand to let go of the almighty dollar for 1 second, they have fear. They have fear of not enough. And they don't believe that God will do what he said he would do in the Bible. The Bible says that if you connect to God's financial plan, that you're exactly what Danny just said, you'll have protection, and you will have a harvest in return. And I'm not just wanting to talk about finances. I'm talking about your whole life. Being tied to the kingdom of God. Jesus told us not to worry. When you worry, you're meditating on what the enemy can do. When you live in and work in the kingdom, you're free. You're free to give. You're free to live. You're free to move forward. It said, fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, not just the stuff out of it. Okay? So the Father wants to give you his realm, his reign, and his rule. You have some authority if you're a born-again believer. Amen. So fear not, little flock. The literal says little, little. Fear not, little, little flock. That's what it actually says there. Telling us that in comparison to the world, to the heathen nations, that we are few. And my understanding is that there are about 2 billion Christians and about 7 billion people on the earth. So you can see we are the smaller of the group. But the awakening is here. And people are getting saved. Amen. So even though we're few, he's saying, fear not, because it is your Father's good pleasure. I don't care how small you are, little flock. I'm going to take care of you, and it's my pleasure to take care of you. Now, church, we've seen this. This is not new to us. We've been through times in the last 19 years where we've seen things just get really shaky economically and all sorts of things, and we see that God saw us through. And then, of course, the 2020, 2021 here, we've seen a whole new thing going on. But who has kept us? Amen. We have been kept. Father has kept us. He has absolutely kept us safe, and he has kept us whole. And that is something that is a choice. These are choices. God's not going to make you love him. God's not going to make you participate with him. He is a God of love, so he will actually give you your own choice. You don't have to have anything to do with him if you don't want to. It's not forced on you. He still loves you, but you can. And boy, what I found out is it's really good if you do participate. Not just knowing Jesus. Demons know Jesus. It's about receiving him as your Savior. And it's also about knowing that you're not working your way. You're not earning God's love. You're not earning from God. God's love is free. Salvation is free. And it's not about how good you are. Once you become a Christian, you begin to have the nature of God, and you do better and better. Because it's good to do what's right, do it right. Because it's right, you'll live a better life on earth. Amen. Amen. You won't have so much hell. You can actually have a good life. Things will go well with you. True. But the truth is there's all sorts of people right now who claim to be Christians who are doing their best to work for Jesus to stay out of hell. But there's only one way that you'll stay out of hell, and that's just by believing and receiving Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. The only sin that will ever take you to hell is rejecting Jesus. Amen. You and the Lord can work through the rest of your life. Now, if the whole kingdom is yours, then why not bread? If the whole kingdom is yours, then why not rent? If the whole kingdom is yours, why not a debt-free home? If the whole kingdom is you, why not peace and joy? If the whole kingdom is you, why not health? If the whole kingdom belongs to you, all of these things are included. And it is his good pleasure. Church, omnipotence itself has undertaken your cause. He loves you, and he'll do everything he can do, but you have to let him. You have a free will. Amen? It is his good pleasure. It's not given to you out of debt that he owes you something. It's a free gift of grace. Amen. The whole package is a free gift of grace. And then you participate with it by learning to use your faith, by learning to receive, by learning to obey the same way you would obey a GPS. It's going to take you down the right road. Amen. So, you can't add one inch, the Bible says, to your height by worrying. You're not going to get any taller. Nothing's going to change if you decide to worry about something. Amen. Your part is to seek and give. His part is to give and multiply. He loves it. He wants to do it. People really misunderstand God, don't they? But he wants to do this. for you to increase. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can even ask or think. He's going to surprise you in the next few weeks. He's going to bless you in the next few weeks. Now, we were talking about the keys of the kingdom. We're talking about certain keys that will help us. And in seeking the kingdom, we need to access the kingdom. We need to know how to download, if you will, from the kingdom. So the kingdom is above time. God is eternal. So everything in that realm, it's real. Get some quantum physics, folks. It's real. Heaven is just as real as this is. It's just on another molecular structure. It's light speed up. Okay? And so, but it's real, but you're going to have to connect with that realm. And the kingdom being out of time, we would need to know how to operate in the kingdom that is out of time. And it's real simple. You call things that are not as though they were. Everybody knows Abraham did that. Couldn't have any children. He's 100 years old. And he began to, God told him, first he tried to do it himself, so he tried the world system. The world system didn't work, so he just began to say, I am a father of a multitude, because God changed his name. So every time he introduced himself to someone, he'd say, hello, I'm the father of a multitude. And within 3 months, Sarah was going to have a baby. Amen. And so you call things that are not. Now, you don't call things that are as though they're not. This is not faith, church. I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not sick, I'm not. That's not faith. I am healed.
Come on. Yeah.
The fact is, such and such was bothering me. I may have had an attack on my body. I'm quoting. I haven't, but I'm quoting. But the truth is I'm healed. So truth will supersede a fact.
Well, that's so good.
And it will eventually manifest the same way that the Word of God manifested into the earth. Jesus was the Word. He manifested into the earth. When God created the earth, he said, light be. Himself manifested. God is light. The scripture says he manifested. Amen. And so these things will manifest from the timeless realm into time. Now, we needed time here. We absolutely need time because we need for it to be over one day.
Right.
Yeah, we do. And I think the clock is ticking. Amen. Now, so the second thing would be is if you're going to work with the kingdom and access the kingdom, you're going to have to see into the spirit realm. You're going to have to know something about the spirit. And it's real easy to do that. You get the word of God in your heart. You begin to receive the word of God. And in the word, just like you would read a fiction novel, you know, you read a novel and you begin to see pictures.
Yeah.
Deb and I took a 10-day road trip way a long time ago just years and years ago. And Deb read The Color Purple to me all the way to Key West. And we were going to Key West, and we took a vehicle. And Deb used the voices, to how they would sound. Man, I was into it. I could see her running through that field. I could see her hiding in the. I could see them when they went down to the beer joint and all that stuff, and them dancing. I could see the whole thing in my mind so clearly. That's your imagination working off a story, right? Well, the Bible will do that for you too. He'll give you pictures of this. I promise you, life will be good. Download that. I promise you, you will have favor. I promise you, you can win. I promise you, you can have success. I promise you, your heart will beat with the rhythm of light. I promise you that you will overcome whatever comes along. I promise you. And you begin to see yourself overcoming. You begin to see. Listen, every trial, every tribulation has an expiration date. And God didn't cause them. That comes straight from the enemy, and it's not from God. He gets blamed for a lot of things. Amen. So, we would want to use our imagination. Abraham saw the stars. That was his picture. Joseph saw the wheat stacks. Jacob saw the little poplar plants in front of the cows or the goats or whatever they were that made, and the goats saw them too, which made them reproduce the ringstrake animals, which he had made a deal with Laban that he would keep the ringstrake, and they begin to overtake and be more than the other flock, and so he won. And so you see all kinds of pictures that you get, and the Word of God will give you those pictures. Amen. So you get his thoughts, because God's thoughts, Danny just set me up when she said she walked out into the garage and she said, Lord, what are we going to do about this? What is the answer to this? Let me tell you something, church. There's always a key to everything. There's always a key issue. There's always an answer. So she goes out there, what are you going to do? And what happens? God told her. But notice she had something in her heart. She knew a story. She knew something to put her imagination on. You can put your imagination on those three Hebrew children. They went into the fire, but the fourth man showed up. You can put your if you're in trouble, you can think about Daniel. They put him in the lion's den because he wouldn't worship other gods. And what happens? He was the biggest lion in the den, that's what. And they were all shut up. Amen. So you see that. You see, you get these right pictures. The Bible calls this hope. The Bible calls it hope. You see something and you go, huh, I can have that. This said I could have that. This says I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. I must have the spirit of Danny on me here. So what we want to see then is you need to get his thoughts. And now one of the things that I mentioned last week, and this is what I want to go down here before we leave today. If you get a revelation of who you are, you get a revelation of who he is, you get a revelation of what he wants, and you get a revelation of how he's leading you in the moment, you're going to have some good keys, and you're going to open doors very easily in your life. Who you really are, who he really is, what he wants, and how he's leading you in the moment. These are real easy to answer. So let's just answer them today. Who do you think you are? Now, it's important to know where you come from. We're big ancestry people. We want to know where we came from. And we watch the show called Who Do You Think You Are? And those kind of things. And you know, I have personally had some pretty good roots. I could tell you that my relatives were in the American Revolution. My ninth great grandfather is George Yardley. He was the governor of Jamestown. I can tell you that a lot of us in here are from the Lockhart area, that our relatives there were given a piece of land because one of the relatives died in the Alamo. I can tell you all these things about where I come from, and they're okay. All sorts of documents we have on it. But then I do have this one grandpa who was arrested for cussing in public. Yipper. And I do have some other grandpas who I can't tell you some of the things they did, but I noticed when I looked them up, they were in the South Texas in jail, so praise the Lord. So what I'm trying to tell you is we all have some good ancestors, and then we have some stinkers in there somewhere, you know, right? But the truth is it doesn't matter who you were, it matters who you are. And I have a great heritage. I have the DNA of land barons. I have the DNA of political figures, farmers and soldiers. But really, I have a much greater lineage because than all of those put together, because I have the DNA of God. And my lineage is not very long. It's the Father, and then there's me. There's me. And I'm in there with my joint heir, Jesus. I'm joint heirs with Jesus. Yeah, I'm not the third sister or anywhere in line. I'm the first. And you're the first. And you're in the same line with Jesus. It's Father, and then it's you. That's why he sent Jesus to bring you in. Amen. And so that's who I am. I am not an old sinner saved by grace. Get that out of your mouth and out of your thinking. You are no longer called a sinner anymore. Listen, you have to get the picture. Every old time religion kind of blew this up. Sinner, because you did this. Sinner, because you do that. Well, roosters crow because they're roosters. Dogs bark because they're dogs. Sinners sin because they're sinners. Because they were born with the nature of Adam, you couldn't help yourself. You're going to sin because you had that nature. But when you're born again, that all washes away, and you become the nature of God Almighty. You become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am, and that's who you are. We are in right relationship with God in our spirit. Our spirits are whole, and nothing can change that once you receive Jesus as your Savior. Now, our souls aren't saved, and so they can still be stinkers. But the closer you get to the Father, the more you'll start acting like them. True. The people you hang around with, you start acting like them. Yeah, you do. It's just absolutely the truth. Amanda has a saying. She always says, all the things. Now I say it. There's little things that Danny does, and I picked them up. There's a whole lot of things that John Calvary does. That John has a whole language of his own. It's with him, it's not tic-tacs, it's chick-chacks. With not him, it's not sandwich, it's semich. And so over the years, we've picked up John-isms. What can I say? But you start being like who you're around. Well, you're going to be like Father when you're around him. You're going to pick up his nature. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we are okay. We're better than okay. The Bible says we're overcomers. The Bible says that we are priests, that we're all right. So you're not an old sinner saved by grace just trying to make it. You're in. You're a child of the living God. And you're not abusing your children, are you? And God does not abuse his. He is not putting sickness on you to teach you things. He is not causing you trouble. That is all. The devil is self-employed, and he is the one doing those things. Which brings me to my next point. What is Father like? Who is Father? Father is a good God. And if you look over into James 1:16, it says, now here's your word. Get this in your imagination. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God is not mean. Man, I'm telling you, I was raised in this stuff where they said, you better watch out for God. We don't understand him, and he might do something, and you might be in something for years because he's going to try to get a point over to you and teach you something. Well, when you're about to put your kid on the bus, do you hit him in the head with something so he can learn something? No. God teaches by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. God is not abusing his children. It's very easy to fall back in that and go, I think I'm going through a test. The Lord put a test on me. What if he put a test on me and give me the COVID? I'm going to tell you something. You better not say that around me. I'm going to chase you. Because God doesn't put sickness on people. It's very clear in the scriptures who does it. Yeah, but you know, I got put in the hospital so I could minister to someone over here who was in the bed next to me. Well, honey, why didn't you just hear the Holy Spirit and walk over in there, drive your car over there and take your Bible in there and minister to them with wholeness? You didn't have to get sick to help somebody. I'm preaching really good right now. It's my favorite subject. I just love this stuff right here. God is a good God. He's a good Father. Get it out of your thinking that he's the troublemaker. He didn't bring the tornado. He doesn't bring the hurricanes. He doesn't put hell on your car. He's a good God. He didn't take favor away from you. He gives you favor. He is not your problem. He is your answer. He's the Father of lights. Brethren, do not get off course. Every beneficial act of giving, every complete gift comes from the Father, not temptation to sin. He won't do that. Man, I can remember the days, the first days when I saw Brother Copeland on TV and he said God was good. And I was like, what? We didn't learn that. I mean, until then, and I was a Christian, I'd rather stay in the pool hall until I heard that. Because I was just tired of thinking that God was just going to beat me up all the time. But man, it changed my whole life when I found out that God would be patient with me, God would help me grow, God would teach me character, and God would be good to me on the way. And when I found that out, and I found out that there was nothing that I was going to do that caused him to kick me out. Glory. So I was really the stinker in the family. And I think Sissy knew how to hide it better than me, right? Yeah. I was just blatantly rebellious. But do you know my parents didn't disown me? And God's not going to disown you. He's not going to. He's for you. Listen, you don't get up every day and say, I'm going to see how many mistakes I'm going to make today. Let me see if I can do that. I'm going to try to do something to make my life miserable today. You don't do that. And you don't get up saying, what can I do to punish the kids today? Well, I actually did know one lady. Remember, sis? That one lady, she spanked her kids on Saturday, whether they were good or bad. Uh-huh. But that's not God. He's not doing that. Yes, well, praise the Lord. So, anyway. So, we have this good Father, and he's the Father of lights. That's the word phos, to give light. Father illuminates his children. He'll let you know he's a good father, as Jesse sings to us all the time. And we can be sure that no matter what happens, he's going to remain good. That's what that scripture in James is telling you. No shadow of turning. If you want to know how God will be, look at how God was. Yeah, but he was tearing them up in the Old Testament. Now, you have to understand that there were enemies of God and that they were actually putting themselves in that position. God gives everyone a choice. We're going to talk about that in just a moment, about choices. Amen. Now, what does he want? Well, he wishes above all things that you would prosper. He wishes that you would be in health. The scripture says that, and he also wants you to develop some character, build some capacity for your faith walk. That's what he's looking for. He wants you to talk fluent faith. Yep. You know how you learn a language? You learn a language by going to the country or taking a class, and you immerse yourself. When I go to Cozumel, which I've been 14 times, I like it. They talk Spanish there. Some of them, there's a few of them that can get out a few things. But I notice that every time I've been there, my Spanish improves, because that's the way you're going to communicate. And I get down there, all of a sudden I remember how to say things. That I, when I'm here, I don't even think about it. Lupe has to help me remember how to say this and that, you know. But when you go there, when you immerse yourself, you start picking it up. Yeah. Did you notice that when you immerse yourself in the Word, you'll start picking it up? Do you know that beginning tonight, you're going to start immersing yourself in the Word of God? Many of you are going to the convention. Some of you are going to be watching it on TV. Well, however you're going to do it, when you get that much word on the inside of you, life changes. Amen. You will speak fluent faith. Amen. So he wants what is good for you. He wants you to obey, simply because now I'm not talking about legalism here. I'm talking about obeying the voice of God and understanding certain things so that you will be able to go the way that is there's least resistance, and you won't be harmed. A lot of times I noticed here when we were traveling lately, there were roads that on the map, on the GPS stuff, it would show you that it was very busy. You see how it does that? The traffic's really heavy. Well, that's how Holy Spirit will lead you. He'll tell you, don't do that. Don't go that way. And here's the big one. Do not say that. I had the Lord say this to me. He's just speaking to me. I don't mean I heard an audible voice. I just heard it in my spirit. He said, in about 2 minutes, I was with a person that shall remain a secret here. y'all are like, who was it? No. And I heard the Lord say, in about 2 minutes, you're going to have an opportunity because something's going to be brought up. And I'm telling you, do not seek the treasure. No. Do not open your mouth about this. And I'm telling you here in a minute, it was derailed that fast. And so it just saves you a whole lot of trouble if you just listen to the Holy Spirit. It's just a day-to-day thing. And as Danny was talking about, you make a decision to go God's way. You make a decision to do some things. You're going to find the favor. I specifically like what you were saying about there's people. Because there's always going to be, you're always going to be, when you're looking for things in your life, one of the things is going to be divine appointments. That's a huge key, is who you know. You can say it's not. Well, it doesn't matter who you know. Oh, yeah, yeah. There's going to be, so be friendly. Meet people. Talk to people. And you will find out that divine appointments are all over the place. Okay, we got to get finished here. So God leads you by his word. He leads you by his spirit. He leads you by spiritual authority. He has a particular way that he will lead you with certain patterns. For me, he'll start telling me 2 or 3 years ahead of time what we're going to do on some things. Other things, things are, you know, sometimes I'll just spring things on the staff and they're like, okay, here we go. But, you know, in life, I'm usually, God uses the pattern of telling me, wait, he may not do that with you. He may wait and say, now do this, you know. There are other patterns. You may start noticing certain things that are happening over and over that are going to lead you to something. But he will use a pattern with you. Now, I want to go here for just, we're real early. We're going to start closing anyway in a minute. But I want to talk to you about prophets for just one moment. I think this is really important right now. Prophets will help lead you. But you need to know who to listen to and who to follow. And you don't need to go, well, they're wrong and they're right and that's a bad one, and start calling names. Just go with what brings you light. Yeah. And you don't need to fuss about everybody else. Because right now, prophets are like a dime a dozen out there. All this America stuff, they're just really, really talking. And some of it does not bring me life. And so you're going to have to listen to who you need to know. Prophets have different ranks. Some are going to speak to the world. Some are going to speak to a nation. Some are going to speak to a church. Some are going to speak to groups. And so you need to be aware of that as well. Prophets also tell the future, but here's what I want to get to. They will also tell you where you are right now. They'll tell you the time that you're in right now. Prophets and prophecies will tell you what God wants for you. For example, the Lord told me to tell you that there's great favor on your life. This is going to be the best school year that you've had. Watch for divine appointments and openings, and God is going to allow you to do some ministry, and he's going to promote you spiritually. Now, she's right here nodding. Yep, yep. So she's already receiving what I'm saying. Now, someone could not receive that. That's okay. It won't happen. God wants to give you what he wants for you. But Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and prophets that carry, that's the gift of prophecy working here. It's a gift of encouragement in the spirit. But all these prophets that said things that were going to come to pass will come to pass. And there, Kim Clement could prophesy and you could see it come to pass. Kenneth Copeland could prophesy. Brother Hagin could prophesy. You'd see it all come to pass. And there are many who can do that. There's a foretelling, there's a forthtelling, but there's also this gift of prophecy that it will encourage you to come up and pick things up. That's called a gift of the Spirit. So Lord, help me with that. I'm going to say that right. God is trying to get you everything to help you know where you are, okay? But you're going to have to be wise and not just listen to everything. And I would highly say that if you're just listening to non-spirit-filled people who think they have everything figured out about what's going to happen in America because of this and that, because of what they think they've uncovered, I would highly recommend that you don't make that your diet. I would highly recommend that you make God's Word your diet, and then you'll know when pieces are true. If you know from the Spirit first, you'll know what's true about what's about to happen. You'll know what's true about plagues and vaccines and such. So you'll know what's true. You'll be able to tell in your heart. Amen. Now, one more thing. Where we are and how He's leading us in this moment. I want to say this to you as we close. We got 6 minutes. Where are we? Where is America? We are living in the last days. Now, I know that by this. And I know that by heart because of we are. And right now, in a great awakening that will increase exponentially. People are waking up. Now, they're waking up on the level as Americans, but they're also waking up in their Christian walk. Some of it's slow, but we're all waking up. We're realizing what's been going on, how the enemy's trying to destroy this country and the world. We're aware of the plague. We're aware that there are many, many people who just flat don't want to hear anything about God, and they're not going to listen to the men and women of God. And God's going to have something to say to them. He is calling people. The church of the living God, though, is waking up. Now, a lot of people are just going to connect to the world system. Now, give people a break. They've been brought up in it. This is what you do. You borrow money. You get in debt. You pay the debt. You try to figure out what to do. You toil, you do all that instead of just living in the blessing and allowing the Lord to do this. It's just, we've all been guilty. Everyone, maybe not these guys because they've been raised in this, but we've all been guilty of just, you know, wanting to do it the world system way. But the other system is better. Okay. Now, the world system, the Babylonian system, is alive and well. When you're really steeped in religion, you're still in the world system. To be free, you have to just be in God. Oh, good, then I don't have to go to church or do anything. No, you don't, actually. But you'll want to. And you'll want to get involved with Him. When you love somebody and you're blessed by somebody, you want to get involved in their life. Okay? Just let me take it slow just for a minute because I feel like the Lord wants to say something to somebody specifically. And then we'll go. Um, The world system, I'm going to go ahead and put this out to you, and you can study this out, and you can know, of course, I'm about 97% in here is going to go, oh, yeah. The world system, we're at the end of the age. The world system will become what the Bible calls the beast. How many of y'all know that? Okay, I figured you didn't know that. The beast is written up here in Revelation. And, you know, people have all sorts of things they think the beast is, but the beast is a system. This is what it's called. One world system. That's what it is. One world system. And it looks good to some people, but it is not of God. And so one day, the world system will give way to the beast. And I can tell you that there's been a lot of practicing going on right now of where big government tries to persuade people to do certain things. So I'm believing this will stay up on Facebook. But that's what will happen eventually. It's going to go that way. But there's a great awakening first. And America will not just survive. America will thrive again. And so some things will be put down for the next season. But one day, that's what the end times will look like. And before the beast gets full blown, you're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Because you're actually sitting on the beast, keeping the beast from manifesting. That's the truth. You can go read the scriptures. It's really easy to, well, maybe not be easy for some people to understand, but you have the Spirit of God, you can. So Babylon's going to give away the beast, and rapture's going to happen. But I believe as we go more and more that believers will come to the truth, that people will get saved. But I have seen that there is a ways to go before we see everybody come into the awakening, so I think it'll take a little bit. So, this is what I want to say to you as we close. In these days, we're going to have to decide who and what will influence us. Can I say that to you? This is the part I want to... What's going to influence you? You're going to have to make your decision. In your decision-making, you're going to come across areas that will actually go against your family. They'll go against your friends. Jesus said, I came to bring the sword. Remember that? And even members of the body of Christ. You're going to make some people mad with how you stand. Somebody in here might make you mad, but we know what to do with that. We forgive and move on. And we do not separate ourselves from people because we have differences of opinions. Amen. You will decide if you will do something that you shouldn't because it's convenient for you, or you will stay the course that God is leading. Every day there are choices. Every day you have to choose love, but not accept the lies. You choose love, but you don't accept the lies. Every day you'll have to decide whether to continue in a mess and complain about it, or if you'll get out and let God do something. I would hate to see you look back and think that you spent all the days of your life doing what you didn't want to do just because you kept it going by complaining about it. Just get out and start over. Amen. Every day you're going to have to decide whether you're going to follow truth or just feeding your soul with conspiracy and propaganda. The word is truth. Some choices you make will not always be convenient or feel good. But you and your children and grandchildren are going to be glad that you followed Jesus. Amen. That you followed the Word of God. Amen. And today, if you can't see your path clearly, I just pray this over you. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know the hope of your calling. Father, I pray that over every person in this room, that they would know that God is calling them and that He will bless them, and that if they need wisdom, He will give it to them without being critical at them. You will do that, Lord, and I thank You for that in Jesus' name.